All right. Hello and welcome, everyone. We are here with my Facebook ad strategist extraordinaire, Miss Kathy Lowe. And really excited to have her here. I've been working with Kathy, oh my gosh, how long has it been?
Has it been 3 years?
It's been
years?
A while. I think so. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Has it been three?
Three?
Two or three.
Yeah. Oh, you're right.
But I think three.
Yeah. I think three. Yeah. Long time.
So Kathy and I met at a mastermind retreat a few years ago and became fast friends. And one of the great things about being in a group like this is that you get to meet other people, you stay in touch. And of course, since then, Kathy has helped me tremendously in growing my audience with Facebook ads. So I am going to just turn it on over to Kathy, and she's going to teach you how to make it happen.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I'm going to, the name of the course is fill your course with Facebook ads. But if you guys have any questions, feel free to jump in. If you already know everything and you're like, this is boring, let me know that too. So let's get started. Okay. Okay, so fill your course with Facebook and Instagram ads because Instagram ads are quickly becoming a major part of Facebook. So whenever I say Facebook, assume it means Instagram. And then while having fun. I love ads and I think ads can be a lot of fun and be really creative. And it just feels great when you can grow your business using something that's scalable and repeatable. So first of all, a little bit about me. I currently consult with a whole range of online businesses in terms of marketing and advertising. And I have a really diverse background for it. I worked in packaged goods. I worked on brands you've heard of, Oil of Olay, it's now Olay, but Clearasil. I worked in tech, Ask Jeeves. And then for a long time, I had my own jewelry business. I was a designer and a manufacturer. It was Kathy Lowe Rocks. My current business is Kathy Lowe Knows, so it's kind of a nice extension of that. And I grew all those businesses, oh, actually the consumer packaged goods I didn't, but in tech and especially with my own business, I did that with online ads. I started it when they were in their infancy with Google AdWords, and then I moved on to Facebook ads when they launched those. So I've been doing Facebook ads, I think like 10 years now. So seen a lot of changes. And when I'm not obsessing about marketing and selling, which I love, I live in San Francisco, though I grew up in Texas. I love to bike and I also love to eat. It's a good combination. And then also I'm a voracious reader. I write and I do some watercolor painting. So, okay. Oh, I didn't realize this does this, like, I forgot it does this animation. Okay, so what we're going to do today is we're going to, like I said, learn how to fill your online courses with Facebook ads. And what we're going to talk about is what you need to do before you can fill your course, how to do research for your audience, and then I'm going to do a deep dive into the back end of Facebook ads to teach you how to set up the ads. And like I said before, feel free to interrupt if something seems different from what you've learned before, if you have a question, something's confusing, etc. So the reason why your ads don't work, the biggest reason why ads don't work is that people start way too late. They start when they have something to sell. And I can't tell you how many people come to me and say, oh, I've got this membership site I want to sell, or I've got this big course, you know, that I'm launching and I want to sell, and they've never done any ads before. And it's a real uphill battle, if not almost impossible. And the reason why is that advertising just isn't magic. Although when you get it to work, it can feel that way. And ads, you know, running ads is like creating a relationship. And you have to understand how people make decisions to trust someone. And, you know, ads work in relationship to all your other marketing activities. So it's something you've got to always be doing. So the reason why ads don't work is because people don't trust you. And why wouldn't they trust us, right? We're like honest, hardworking people that are out there solving problems. And the biggest reason is they don't know you. But beyond that, it's they don't believe you. They don't think that they have a need. They don't understand your offer. They think something better is out there. They don't need it today, and they don't understand the value. And so the biggest hurdle that we're going to talk about that we're going to address with ads is they don't know you. And that's the first place you have to go before you can even get them to believe you or think that they have a need, et cetera. So essentially there's no relationship. So.
Hey, Kathy.
Yeah.
I don't think your slides are advancing.
Oh, you can't see them?
I can see it's the first slide. Fill your course.
Oh, really?
With Facebook. Uh-huh.
Oh. The sharing was paused. Hold on. Let me see. I apologize. So some it says resume share, but I can't. I can't. Hold on. Let me see. Okay.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah. Now? Okay. Yeah. Let's go. Yep. So ads don't work.
I did the trick.
Here, I'll just run through so you guys can see what it looks like.
Okay.
People don't trust you. Oh, the biggest mistake: waiting too late. They don't trust you because they don't know you. So what do? You've got to create relationships. And I break down creating a relationship with advertising or in marketing, if you will, into four steps. The first is finding your community. So finding the people that you want to talk to and then nurturing them. And in the digital world, that's with content. Getting them to convert so they give you the money. And then after that is loyalty. And I think dating is such a great example, like when I think back to it, because we've all been through it in some form of it. But you know, you meet someone, so there's an introduction, you go on a first date, whether you go on 100 or 1,000,000 dates, but you know, you get to know someone and you learn to trust them and like them. And then you get the proposal, right? So that's like, I think of that as like the conversion, the ka-ching. And then after that, you know, you still have to think about like the relationship, and that's, you know, the loyalty piece is like marriage or being in a relationship. You've got to constantly, and that's a whole different set of nurturing that has to occur. So, let me go to, so how do you find your community? And I think it's good to think about it from like a real macro standpoint, like what are all the ways that you can start building this community or finding people that you want to ultimately be in your courses? And so networking is a great way, online groups, there's industry events, whether in person or not right now, obviously, but you know, online, social outings, you can hand out your card wherever you go, trade shows, like I said, handing out cards, asking for referrals. There's social media, you know, Facebook, I mean, there's hundreds of platforms, but social media, Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, YouTube. And then there's PR, you know, the media, news. If you can do something crazy or outrageous, and then, you know, everybody hears about you and wants to learn more about who you are. But I think advertising by far is the best way to get your business, your name, your philosophy, and your message out there, because you're ultimately in control. You can control your message. You can control what you say with it, who you talk to, and then you can scale it. You know, I mean, you could go to a trade show and have tremendous results, but maybe there's only one trade show you can go to, or that the next year the trade show is the same date as, you know, your mom's, your parents are getting, you know, whatever, some big event or your kid's wedding and you just can't go. Well, what are you going to do? But with advertising, it's something that can happen on a daily basis and you can repeat it and grow it. So what are you going to do? So obviously they're Facebook ads. You probably heard about them. You probably heard how amazing they are. So what do you do with it? And what I'm doing with my clients right now to help them is to do it the old fashioned way, to use Facebook ads to build your email list. And the reason why is, I mean, even though email is like, kind of feels like a dinosaur, ultimately it's ownable. You own those email addresses. If you decide to, you know, move to a different email provider, you can export them. There's a lot of things you can do with them. And then you could also reach your entire email list. I mean, you can build, you know, audiences on Facebook and Instagram and LinkedIn, but you don't know who you're reaching and who you're not reaching with the tools. And with an email list, and I say seemingly reachable because, as you know, there's all kinds of spam filters and things go into people's promotional folders and maybe people don't read email as much, but nonetheless, you have a kind of a sense of what's going on with it. So it's still like really one of the most, I think the most powerful tool you have to create community. And then I think what comes after that and what is a nice secondary benefit of running Facebook ads. So if you're going to run a Facebook ad specifically to build your email list, you're and also doing...
James started at 140 per person.
You're also doing some other things to build what we call Facebook speak custom audiences. You'll have an audience of website visitors. So as you build your email list, you'll also be sending people to your website, which has the advantage of people being able to read your about page or see your offers or read your blog. You're building what's called like a Facebook audience, and those are people who visit your page, and then your Instagram audience. And all those can later be used for your Facebook ads. But for right now, we're just going to focus on what kind of ad you need to build your list.
Kathy, I think your slides might have disappeared.
Oh, really? I wonder what's going on.
Oh yeah, they did. Totally gone. Huh. Oh, there we are. Okay,
now?
It's back.
No, it's funny. If you guys don't mind, I can you still see it? When I go into like the full screen mode, it must disappear. So we'll just do it this way. So, okay. So what you need to do to build your email list, you've got to have a lead magnet. And I'm not sure if you guys have talked about this, but a lead magnet is a free gift or a digital gift that you provide in exchange for a name and an email list. And you need to, in order to run ads, you have to have three components for it. You need your landing page, and that's where somebody's going to sign up for it. The thank you page, so that's where somebody sees a page, thank you for signing up, go check your email. And then you need an email service that's connected so that it automagically sends the gift or the lead magnet to the recipient. And it's a little bit of work to set that up. There's some technical hurdles. Either you need to learn how to do it or hire someone to do it. There is one workaround. It's in Facebook. It's called a lead ad. If you don't have the time or you don't want to spend the money yet to invest in building out the pages, these two pages, you can create this lead ad. I've done it for clients. Sometimes the leads aren't the best leads, but it does allow you to one, test to see if your offer is good, if people are interested, because if you're not even sure someone's interested, you may not want to create like a really nice PDF guide or a video or et cetera. And then I've also done it when I've been working with clients who their pages just aren't working. So I want to test and see if it's the offer that's not working versus the pages before I give them feedback. So that's kind of a back pocket tool that you you may want to consider using to either test or to gather leads if you're not ready to invest in the technology. So a lead magnet, I like to think of it as it's just an invitation to a party. It doesn't have to be anything big, fancy. You don't have to go the distance like you would if you create a course. But so it can be, I think the simplest way is some kind of handout or guide. A simple 1 to 3 page guide is almost always sufficient. Quizzes can be fun. It's a much more of a technology investment, but it can, depending on what you're offering, it can be really good. A white paper might be really interesting because you guys are in the health field and people may be really interested in a lot more of the science behind, the work that you're doing, or if you're busting a myth, being able to provide that. Video presentations are great, slide presentations that maybe you've presented, or a webinar is another list building activity. I mean, it's a lot more work, obviously, but ultimately at the end of the day, people use it to build their list. And then any kind of live training where you have someone opt in order to see the training, is also another kind of list building activity. And then the way I think about, we could spend hours talking about what makes a good lead magnet, but just some really quick tips is, I think it's something to think about when you're creating your lead magnet is something that addresses a common problem. So think about, what's the most common question you get from potential clients or even existing clients. Busting a myth is a great way to do it because it leads to a compelling ad. And I like to keep them short and simple. I don't think you know, sometimes people will give me these 50-page lead magnets, and I think like, wait, you know, you could cut it down, just use the very maybe beginning of it or just one piece of it as your lead magnet and maybe make the rest of it some kind of paid offer. And then just you can even take like if you have existing content and massage it or make it simpler to create a lead magnet. So where is your community? And you know, you can probably describe who you're targeting in pretty simple, in simple words and language, but translating that into language that Facebook can use or being able to choose the attributes when you go to create a Facebook ad, there's going to be a difference. And so I'm going to teach you some ways that you can do research so you can find your audience in Facebook. And so the best ways I think to do it are, one is just to go into the Facebook Ads Manager where the targeting attributes are and just spending, I mean, it's like one little box that I think opens like the key to Narnia. Like it's like the door to Narnia. It's huge what's in there, but it's deceptively small. But spending time in there, you can see what Facebook will actually allow you to target. And it also give you really good ideas about your audience and maybe send you down some paths of exploration. There's also a tool called Audience Insights in Facebook that can be helpful. Amazon, I'm not gonna go into detail about that, but that's a great way because, you know, Amazon houses like really pretty much all the intellectual property of the world right now. So books, magazines, you know, those kind of things are often options you can target in Facebook. Same with Google search and Google keywords. And then finally, what I think is so interesting about Facebook ads is that the more you advertise on Facebook and Instagram, the more Facebook learns more about your community and maybe even more so than you and attributes that you wouldn't even know about your community. And that's because you've got this tool called the Facebook Pixel. And this is really the key behind what's going behind the scenes when you start advertising and you start, you know, starting out to do list building offering these lead magnets and ads, is you're going to have a small piece of code. This is called the Facebook Pixel, and it's every single ad account in Facebook is assigned a unique piece of code, the pixel. And what you do is you place this pixel on your website and any other page that you use to send traffic. So if you're using lead pages or I forget some of the other, any type of service like that, you'll have the option to put, I think ConvertKit has pages. You always have the option to put your Facebook pixel on it, and you're gonna wanna do it. Now the bad news is it's kind of creepy because Facebook monitors everything that happens on those pages. But the good thing is that they're collecting all this information about the behavior that's happening. So they're noticing like who is reading it, where they go, how many pages they watch. And importantly, as you send people to your lead magnet, they're seeing who opts in. And then they're also seeing who doesn't. So they're starting to build a picture of who your ideal target is. And over time, that becomes a really powerful resource. So the more you use it, the better it works. So, okay. So now I'm gonna go into how do you actually build this Facebook ad campaign. And within that, I'll show you how to do where the targeting options are. So just a quick summary, if you're not familiar with Facebook ads, there's three levels to them. There's the campaign level, and that's where you set your, what they call the campaign objective, and your budget. There's called the ad set level, and that's where the optimization occurs, the targeting, the schedule, and the placement. There's some other attributes in there. The ad set level is actually pretty meaty, but those are the most important ones to understand right now. And then the last level is called the ad level, and that's where you set the creative. So, okay, so to build, I'm gonna call these community finding ads. And what you're going to do is at the campaign level, you're going to choose what's called the conversions objective. And you can see here, when you go to open a campaign, you'll title it. I use one of Leslie's campaigns. And then the buying type is auction. Always use auction. And then you're going to choose conversions. And what conversions means is that I'll explain a little more, but you're basically telling Facebook to Find people who are most likely to do the type of conversion that you specify. The other types of ads, just for edification, is there's what's called traffic ads, and that's when you're going to be sending people to a blog post or some kind of web page. And really what you want are people who are most likely to click on a link and go to a site. There's store visits for people that have brick and mortar stores. There's what they call reach ads. Like I said before, there's lead ads, but the one that we're going to want to use is called conversions. And then the next level. So what you'll see on the side is you'll see three levels. So you'll see here, can you guys see my cursor? This is the campaign level. This is the ad set level. And then these two under here are the ads. And it'll make more sense once you're in the ads manager and you have this like to compare to, but, or if you're working with someone, this gives you a basic level of understanding so you can communicate with like an ads manager or somebody you're working with your ads on. So at the ad set level, you're going to want to make sure there's what they call, it'll say the conversion, and you have to tell Facebook, like, what are they converting for? What I recommend using is called the lead event, but there's all kinds of events. There's purchase, which obviously if you have e-commerce, you're going to be optimizing for purchase. There's add to cart, there's initiate checkout, but lead is the most commonly used one for list building. And basically, and what happens is because you've got this pixel code on all your website pages, your thank you page, the pixel code will be adjusted so that when someone lands on it, it'll scream lead back to Facebook, and Facebook will know that you've collected a lead. So the other way you can do it is what's called a custom conversion. And that's where you just use the URL of the page, and you tell Facebook, you know, I want you to find people who are most likely to land on this thank you page. And that's your, it's called a custom conversion. So once you're in the ad set, the next thing you want to do, and this is what's really key, is to do your targeting. So at the first chunk of information is Facebook will ask you about your demographics. And what you'll be able to choose is you'll be able to choose your locations. And Facebook will have a bunch of different dropdowns for location. It'll be like people who visited, people who used to live there, people who are, you know, all these other types of things. You want to find people who are living in the location. And I don't know about, you know, I know for Leslie, we only target people in the United States. But you can get, like, for instance, let's say that you want to be narrower than that. If you want to target like the city that you're in, if you're having like a workshop or an event, you can do that. You can also, and even within a city, I would recommend getting the zip codes, because, you know, there can be a big diversity of, income levels within a city. And so it may be beneficial to target with just the income levels. You can also choose radiuses. So you can do 10 miles within, you know, radius within an address. So again, if you're doing a workshop, you can find people who live like 10 miles or 20 miles or whatever you think the appropriate driving distance is. And then, you know, choose your age, your gender. And I always choose English, you know, these languages, just to filter out people who, you know, you probably want only people who speak English. And then, you know, keep, you know, as far as targeting with age, I know a lot of people feel like, well, you know, I could work with anyone. And my recommendation is to keep it somewhat narrow, but even though you can work with a lot of people, I think ads work best when you're really in your bullseye. Okay. So once you're in Facebook ads, there's this part, it's underneath the demographics and the geography, which is called detail targeting. And this is where it says include people who match. And I've done one for like Sarah Gottfried. And what Facebook will do is, so you'll start typing in, you know, a thought leader, for instance. And Facebook will give you, you know, if they're there, it'll show up. Oftentimes, if it's not there, you won't be able to target that in Facebook. And there's no rhyme or reason why some people are in there and some aren't. So this is where it's kind of like you've got to do a lot of research to see what's available to you. But something that's really cool is once you type in, like you see Sarah Gottfried, MD, you can you can select this, which is called suggestions. And then it'll give you all the what Facebook thinks are related pages. And so what a lot of times I'll do is maybe I'll choose Mark Hyman, even though maybe I don't want to target Mark Hyman, I'll still do that to see what other kinds of suggestions are there. And I just keep like drilling down until I start getting a picture of like A, what's available, and B, what do I want to use. And so what I'm going to show you in the next slide is, you know, what are all your options for targeting? Like, what can you do? So the most commonly used one are pages, so are of thought leaders. So again, Sarah Gottfried's an example, Oprah Winfrey's another one. And these are, and you know, some of the bigger names that you'll heard of, like Brené Brown, I know is in there. I use that a lot for some of my clients. And so those are great ones to use. And especially if you're, some of your competitors are big thought leaders, they may be in there. Brands are, like almost every brand is in there. Starbucks, Weight Watchers, that's a good one to use. And then as far as what Facebook calls interests are there, so these are keywords. Yoga, meditation, weight loss, disease states may or may not be in there. Facebook is a little bit funny about that. Sometimes they're there, sometimes they're not, so it's worth checking. And then associations, maybe associated with those are oftentimes in there. So ones that I think that are good to use are look for shopping in stores. Sorry, my throat's getting dry. You'll see magazines, books, music. Education is another, so you'll be able to sort people by from their education level as well, and also where they went to school. Relationship status, that's there if that's applicable to you. Job titles and employers. There is one for income, but I don't think it's very good to use. It only gives you like the top 25% of zip codes. And I don't know how accurate that data is. I think you're better off using things like stores that people are interested, brands that they're interested in as a proxy for income. So that's the first one. And then what you can do with Facebook also is that you can narrow your audience. So when you're in that box where, let's see, where is it? Let me go back here. So when you're in this box where it says Sarah Gottfried, MD, and you start, if you add in all these other names like Daniel Amen, Mark Hyman, Chris Carr, it's gonna give you an or. So what it's gonna say is the people that you wanna target, you know, you do your demographics, women 24 to 44 who live in the United States, and are interested in Sarah Gottfried. But if you start putting in, and then you put Daniel Amen, it'll say, or Daniel Amen, or Mark Hyman, or Chris Carr. But let's say you want someone, you know, who is in, you know, interested in Sarah Gottfried and likes, you know, yoga. Then what you wanna do is underneath the where it says suggestions, there'll be a place, okay. It'll say narrow. So it'll say, so you put in like healthy diet in the detail targeting, and then you'll say narrow audience. And that gives you that or. And that's really important because, like I said, if you want to find those intersections of the audiences, because those can be really powerful audiences to get detailed on who your target is, then you would put in like healthy diet. And then when you put in narrow audience, then you would add Whole Foods Market. I just use that as an example. And if you want to get even narrower, I don't necessarily recommend it, but let's just say, you know, you're trying to find dog owners who eat organic and also have a PhD. Then you would say, you know, narrow audience. And then the one watch out I want you to watch out for is where it says detailed targeting expansion, reach beyond your, don't ever check that. Because what that does is that almost without you saying it, it negates all your targeting. Because then you're telling Facebook, okay, you kind of know who I want, now go after who you think I want. And I wouldn't do that, especially in the beginning. Maybe at some point you want to test it, but for now, just make sure you don't check it. Sometimes Facebook will auto-check it and sometimes they don't. So just something to be aware of. So the next really handy tool that you can use in the Facebook Ads Manager is what's called Audience Insights. And so when you're in the Ads Manager, you click on in the upper left, this like little hamburger menu, they call it, and it'll bring out this big menu and go to what's called Audience Insights. And what Audience Insights will do is allow you to look at what are the relationships between like different pages and different interests. Somewhat similar to what we did in the detailed targeting section of the Ads Manager, but I find it just gives you a different perspective. And again, you know, you're really just trying to stretch and find, especially if you're starting from scratch, like who is your audience and what's available to you. And so what you can do on the left side is you just see where it says interests. Just type in, I use Sarah Gottfried again as an example, and it'll give you all the pages that people like that, or the different types of pages that people like that also like Sarah Gottfried. So it'll give you like skincare and doctor and author and school. And I mean, some of it may or may be applicable, but I think, you know, it's good to look at. And then once, if you click through here where like, for to one of these, like you click on Sarah Gottfried again, it'll take you to these pages that other people that like, you know, what they call it like an affinity, but like, okay, what pages do people who like Sarah Gottfried, what do they also like? And so it's great. So you get a whole nother set of ideas. And one little quirk here that's going to drive you nuts is that sometimes some of these pages that are listed here are not available in the Ads Manager. And it doesn't make sense, but it's just, Facebook doesn't have a good answer for it. So, but anyway, it at least will give you more ideas and more targeting options. Okay, so once you're back in the Ads Manager, at the ad set level, there's something called placement. And what placement refers to is where ads actually going to be shown. Now, Facebook's going to automatically default to automatic placement, and see, it'll even give you this like recommended. And you don't want to do automatic placement, especially in the beginning. You're going to want to do what's called a manual placement, and you're going to want to manually place it in the Facebook feed and the Instagram feed and just uncheck everything else. There's a lot of like video options in there, and I'm gonna assume that you guys are gonna do an image ad to start. So I would make sure I would uncheck those. And then once you start running your ad and you're getting good results and you wanna start expanding and looking at other placements, if you're gonna do video ads, then I would do some of the video placements. Like I'd look at Instagram stories. That's specific creative, but that's something that's been working really well. And there's something called instant articles and marketplace that I've had good success with. But again, I started out with using the feeds. And those feeds are both mobile and desktop. They don't separate that out anymore. And then I would be wary. I wouldn't use any audience network to start with, especially when you're doing list building ads. And then and I would only use it for what's called a retargeting ad. Okay, so then the next place, so after you've done all that, the targeting and the placement, you're gonna wanna do your ad creative. And a Facebook ad has, I guess, four or five components. And the first is right here, it's gonna show where your ad is from. So that's your Facebook page. And so you can be intentional in what you name it. You can have multiple Facebook pages. So you can have the ad go from your business page, but let's say, you know, I've seen people who create specific pages just so they can advertise in their so that their ad copy has like a claim in here or something. It's just a little trick you can use. So you're gonna have, it's gonna be the name of your page. And then this right here at the top is your your primary text. This is the image. And then down here is the headline, and if you use a call to action button, the button will be down here. So I'm gonna go through each of the components. So in your primary text, also you'll notice that, this is a really short ad, so all the copy, you've probably noticed when you're seeing in the Facebook feed or in the Instagram feed, it'll say like show more. So it'll only show like the first, I think, 50 characters of your ad. And when you're creating the ad, you'll have a preview to see what's being shown. And so you want to be mindful of what people can see as they're scrolling through. So the first is your text. And what I like to do is I like to open with something that addresses the problem that's related to your lead magnet. I put question in quotes, and I'll tell you why in just a minute, but somehow hooking people in with what the problem is. And you could either use, like, I think busting a myth is always great because it gets people's attention. You could use a statistic. You want to use client language, you know, language that your clients would use rather than industry jargon. And then you want to make sure you use something that weeds people out. You don't want everybody to like your lead magnet. I mean, you really want to make sure that you're getting people who are going to be interested in, and it may cost you a little bit more, but ultimately you want good leads, because those good leads are going to be the people that buy your course or buy your other offerings. And so this is where you have to be a little bit artistic, I guess, with Facebook ads, is that you have to identify your audience and, you know, call out, you know, if you want to ask a question, but you have to do it in a way that doesn't call out a condition. So you can't say, so Facebook is really sensitive about people scrolling through their feeds, whether it's Instagram or Facebook, and saying, like, are you overweight? Are you a procrastinator? Are you stressed? Even things that seem kind of innocuous, they're like, no, because they don't want people to feel shamed or feel spied on. Even so what you have to do is you have to do it in a way like, stress causes is the re or procrastination is the reason for 50, you know, percent reduction in workforce productivity. I mean, that's kind of a sad example, but you have to, like, do it kind of as a statement. And you can look at Facebook's terms of service and they will give you some guidelines on how to do it. But again, you know, do this dance between, like, calling people out and identifying their problem, but in a way that doesn't get your ad rejected. And then next I like to describe what the problem is to get a little bit of meat around what people are finding frustrating and, what they don't like. And, you know, so somebody's like, I always try and get the head nod, right? Oh yeah, that's me. Oh my God, I totally can relate to that problem. And then you paint a picture of what's possible. Like, the problem can be solved, and you describe that. That's going to be your lead magnet. And then what I always recommend doing is you have to test long and short messages, because I mean, I've got clients who max out the number. They have such long, ads, they max out, like, the Instagram count, and it works. And I have others that there's no way. I mean, this is longer than what's in the preview, the ad doesn't convert. So you really have to really test that and test your audience. And also, I feel like it's an extension of your brand too. Like, even I find in the same audiences, but different, you know, businesses will have different characteristics. And for whatever reason, you know, long ads convert for that person and short ads convert for another person. So again, this is where I think that, you know, where you really can have fun with Facebook and really be testing and seeing what's working and seeing, like, if humor works, if being serious works, if being sarcastic works. I mean, there's just so much here at play that you want to test. And then I always include a URL at the end of the copy. If you see how Leslie's ad is, you see how we've got the URL. I think that's a good practice, because it'll be hot linked for the person. So in addition to, you know, the URL that you'll tell Facebook, if somebody clicks on the image or clicks on the headline, it'll take them to the page. And then this is just another place for somebody to click, and people click there. So next is your image. So the idea is, you know, your image is going to stop someone and it's going to get them to read your ad. And so remember, you know, they're in a social environment when they're on Instagram and Facebook. So you want something that kind of fits in but stands out. I think, you know, using your own images is a good place to start, especially if you have nice professional images, but you definitely don't have to do that. You know, Facebook offers the entire Shutterstock library for free. And so it's worth going in there to seeing if you can find those images. I find that images that don't have any text texting them actually work better. You know, you'll see images, you know, you'll see ads in your Facebook feed that have a lot of text in them, and it's not, or you have this, I think there's this proclivity that people feel like, oh, the ad has to have text in it, and it doesn't necessarily have to have that. So the way you find the Shutterstock library is when you go into select your images, there's a drop-down box, you know, it'll automatically just bring up the images from your account. But if you click this drop-down box, it'll say stock photos, and that's the Shutterstock. And then you can go through those images. It's pretty tedious, but you'll be able to find, like I said, you'll be able to find all the images. And what sometimes I do is I'll go to Shutterstock and find an image that I like, and then I'll use like the keywords and try and find it in Facebook. Cause it, over here, there's like a search box where it says search images by name. And so if the Shutterstock has, they have keyword tags on it. Again, you don't need a lot of text. I mean, Facebook used to have this 20% rule where they would reject any ad that had more than that, but they've really gotten a lot more lax with it. So you can try it. Oftentimes I'll get warnings on having too much text, and the ads will convert well. So there's no rhyme or reason sometimes. So don't be afraid of that either. I find that yellow, so a couple things, just like really tactical. I find yellow works really well in images. And then also for a lead magnet, I've found that having a picture of a book with the name of your lead mag on it, like, works really well. Like I recommend everybody test that. So I would test that. I would test an image of somebody who's like, has the end emotional result of your lead magnet. So they're happy, they're cheering. And then I would also test one that has like a negative image. So what someone feels like before they get your lead magnet. And I think those are three really good places to start. And then, like I said, the URL is the landing page. That's what your ad is gonna click through to. So you're gonna need to have that. You'll have your headline down here. And then Facebook gives you an option to have a call to action. There's these predetermined buttons like learn more, shop now, download, sign up. They have about 20 of them. I never actually use them. And the reason why is I find it looks less like an ad. So I still find I get much better results without it. And it also gives you more headline room for the ad. The headline having more space is outweighs having that call to action button. So that's my recommendation, but like anything, you may want to test it, but that's where I would start with. And then, you know, hit publish and you're ready to go and watch your leads fly in. But what I will say, I think it's really valuable to test, especially if you haven't done ads before. And so what I would do is I would test one attribute at a time. And the attributes you can try, depending on your confidence level, but the attributes that are worth testing are the audience that you're testing, your copy, your ad copy. So short, long, different ways of addressing the problem and the reader, your headline and the image. And the way I liked people to start with, especially if they haven't done it and they have a low budget, is I would start with like two ads or two things to test. I give each one of them the same amount of budget. So people, you can even start with $5 on each. I'd start running them. And then whatever one wins, quote unquote, I'd probably let it run on that like 5 days to start with to really get some data behind it. Then I would take the second one and create a new one and then run that against the benchmark. And just keep doing that till you see if you can beat your benchmark. And at the same time, like I said before, Facebook starts getting smarter about who's opting in, who wants your lead magnet, and then they start getting better too. And also, the tendency is gonna be to hit refresh on your ads manager or ask the person who's running your ads how they're doing. And I always remind myself, a watched ad never converts. So don't like get yourself like obsessed with how your ads are doing. Like I said, I'd start with, you know, 72 hours at the minimum, but I would even try and give Facebook a little bit more time before you start messing with them. And then don't panic. I mean, this takes time, but it works. I mean, this really works to build your list. no question about it. You just have to get the right, either the right offer, the right ad, or the right audience. Excuse me. And then once you do all that, I'd be remiss to tell you, don't be a stranger. I can't tell you how many people build lists and then they just let them languish. And then we have long conversations about how to revive a dead list. What do I do? Do I start over? Do I, like, don't let them die. Water your list. Be nice to them, even if you just send them a two-word email or two-sentence email. And just some ideas, you can send them, you know, obviously email is great, but you can send them blog posts, video lessons, webinars, workshops. You can share articles that other people have written if you're not, if you don't have anything original content you want to share or you have to share. You can do Facebook Lives, Instagram Lives, stories. For you guys that have groups, you can do some kind of group activity and share that. So just a plethora. There's no shortage of content for you to use to keep your list warm. So I just implore you to go out there, find them, and love them. And just in summary, you want to do this, you want to create a lead magnet because you're going to need something in order to advertise. You want to really make sure you research your audience and understand who you can target. And then you need ad copy, headline, and an image. And then from there, just test, and don't give up. It will work. So there you go. Any sounds so easy.
I love it. So good. All right. So guys, I know this was a big topic, right?
Yeah, it's a lot of information.
It is a lot of information. So again, I always try to remind you all, you know, if just don't let yourself get overwhelmed. Some of you are to this point where you might want to play with ads. Some of you, not so much. And that's completely fine. So let's see. Okay, so yeah, let's do some Q&A. So Chris wants to know, what does it cost for a Facebook ad?
So that's a great question. So Facebook doesn't charge you up front. What you do is you give Facebook a budget. Most people use a daily budget, and then Facebook starts running your ads and you get results within that budget. So for example, let's say you want to run an ad and you only want to spend $10 a day. So Facebook will start running your ad. They'll only spend $10. And let's say, you know, it's a list building, a lead magnet. You may get people opting in for $3.50 each. So on one day, you'll get like two, maybe three opt-ins. Do you see? And so you don't know how much it's going to cost for your opt-in until you start running your ad. So does that make sense? You know, some people, and then every business is different. Like I've seen, you know, opt-ins cost, like a lead cost, you know, north of hundreds of dollars. But the good news is your control of how much Facebook will spend. So you want to know, do you need a Facebook page? You do, yes, you need, that's a great question, Chris. You do need a Facebook business page to advertise, and you can't advertise from your personal page. And then you also, same with Instagram. I think you need an Instagram. Your Instagram has to be a business profile to be able to advertise from Instagram. You don't need any content in either of those. Like you could just set it up, but you have to have that. Yeah, I'll give you guys the slides so you can, I know that's a lot, and it'll make a lot more sense when you're going through the ads manager. So Jennifer's asking if you can tell your personal page to people to look at your business page. So people, Facebook is very particular. They don't want you using your personal profile to advertise your business. So there's an invite feature where you can invite people you can invite contacts from your personal page to your business page. And then you may like occasionally like point people in the direction of your business page. And I think you'll be okay.
How do you decide where to run your ads between Facebook and Instagram?
So what I do is I start out, it's a great question. So I start out with both. I mean, I just do the Facebook feed and then the Instagram feed. And then when you look, what Facebook will tell you, and then when you look at your results, you can see, is there a difference in conversion costs between Facebook and Instagram? The other thing is Facebook will tell you is that they'll optimize your ads and start running your ads in the place where it converts better. And a lot of time, 90% of the time, that's actually true. Like if Facebook sees that Instagram is working better, they'll just start pushing people towards Instagram. But, you know, that's another option is just to separate them out. You can separate placements out and see how placements work. I don't advise that in the beginning. I think that's more of an advanced feature. I think Facebook is pretty good about, if you get rid of the audience network in particular, it's pretty good about serving it when you're running a conversions ad to where they can get you conversions. Yeah, I think you can ask people to like your business page from your personal page. I think it's a feature, actually. I remember doing that. Yeah. So Instagram does have a link. So when you run an ad, so you're right. When you create an organic post on Instagram, it does not have you cannot put a link. But when you create an ad on Instagram, it is clickable. There is a link. And in fact, kind of a secret backdoor trick you can do is, and that link on Instagram is clickable when it's an ad, is you can take an existing, so whenever you run Facebook ads or Instagram ads, you can actually, instead of creating a brand new ad, you can use what they call an existing post. So you can take one of your Instagram posts and it'll allow you to add a URL to that post. It'll turn it into an ad, so it'll say sponsored, but it'll be clickable. And so that would be a cool way to, and then you could start, obviously expanding the reach of that post. But ads allow you to have Instagram links, have links on Instagram ads. I don't think it's in the copy though. It's in the, it's like there'll be a call to action button and that will be clickable.
Can you comment on Barbara's question? I don't know if you have any ideas there.
Oh, you got charged for using it. Well, a couple things I do is I just go to Google and just start searching, putting in keywords and seeing what comes up. And I think Google also gives you suggestions for other things to search. Now, as far as Google keyword search in Google Ad, are you talking about in Google AdWords? Do they charge now for you to use that? I know they didn't before, but I think I might have heard that they're starting to charge you to use their search tool. So is that what you're hearing, Barbara? Or you got charged to use it? You could try Bing if Google doesn't, maybe Bing doesn't. Google does, maybe Bing does.
Yes, I kept getting directed to pay. And I know there was a free search.
Yeah, that might be new. So I would just use Google, like just regular Google search. And then, because you don't need to know the volume, you just want ideas. And then you may want to try Bing. Bing might let you do a free keyword search. So. And then what else do I? Okay, so Emily's and Lizzie. So setting up is an a personal one. So the handle for your business. I mean, I would make the handle the one that you think is appropriate for your business. So if it is the same, then use the same one for your business page. But I would do a business name for your Facebook page and for your Instagram page that's going to make sense for your target audience. And I wouldn't do it because your friends and family know you. I don't know, unless your friends and family are your ideal target. But I would create what's appropriate for your business. Because you saw in the ad, you're going to see that, and it's going to start getting name recognition. And also, I feel like unless your friends and family are like in your target, don't have them necessarily, don't have them like your page or visit your Instagram page just because you need, like you want the volume or it looks good to have more kinds of engagement. Like really keep it clean and keep the people that are in your target interacting and seeing your business pages because Facebook's collecting all that data. So if you've just got like, you know, your family and your friends who love you and will like everything you do, they could possibly, over time, they pollute your data. It's the same with like a long time ago, the game was like, I want 10,000 Facebook likes. So people would do all kinds of things like get people in India to like it. So the number looked big. But then their data was polluted because they had all these people who didn't care about their business. So really, really look at, you know, really be focused on the quality of the people that are interacting with you on your business assets.
And that's the same for Instagram?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah. Don't be worried about the numbers. Cause you know, even though like, oh, you know, right now, like people with huge followers are getting, you know, these sponsorship deals or you want it, you know, you want a big number cause it, you know, there's value in it, mm-hmm. but over time you want the right people following it. And over time those numbers just fall apart. Like no one cares about how many Facebook likes you have anymore. It doesn't have the
not at all.
You know, so yeah, for people that have followed, like some of the people are following you on your personal page, I would encourage them to go over to your business page and start liking that and then start running ads to your business page and you'll start getting more people following it. And that's the great thing about the opt-in ads is that as a result of it, people will start liking your page or following you on Instagram.
So what about, where do I even start here? With Facebook Lives or Instagram Lives, I guess maybe Facebook Lives in particular. And Chris wants to know, can they hire you to help with this?
And something that Leslie and I have talked about is just having a workshop where we just go through this in detail. Like, so that you have your ads manager open and we just go step by step.
Do you guys want to do that? Like, I don't know. We have to just do it, Kathy.
But that was my concept of it. It was that it's this, but like we go through and you can ask like, why does this here? Why is that? Because I promise you, when you watch this screen recording, like in 3 weeks, it could look completely different. It can look different.
That is the challenge, right?
Yeah.
So like trying to create a course to do this can be a little challenging because it always changes. Always changing.
But if we do a live workshop and also,
let's do it.
I'll tell you something. I'm a coach I was a jewelry designer for a long time. So I'm in a coach in a program where a lot of jewelry designers, I coach them on their ads. And so we'll do a screen share. And they'll open up their screen and show me I want to look at their ads and see what they're doing. And their interface looks nothing like mine. I'm like, oh, I guess they're changing it. So this is amazing. But the theories are still there. Like kind of the underlying understanding, kind of the underlying theory behind it is still there. So they don't change.
We're going to do that. I'll keep you guys posted.
So
we're going to actually get it in the calendar and do it. So the one thing I wanted to ask you about, Kathy, is, some people in this group may want to start doing Facebook Lives, right?
Yeah.
And so do you want to talk a little bit about, you know, just some tips to actually get people there and whether or not you would recommend, you know, ads or... you know, before and after, what would you say for someone that's just starting?
Well, so Facebook loves Facebook Lives, and I think they do some really nice organic promotion of it. So I think you could set it up within Facebook 7 days ahead of time, and then Facebook will start letting people know. But I think do you use Be Live, Leslie?
I've been using StreamYard lately, although I got to tell you, I'm having some issues with StreamYard. Like I can't see the comments.
Oh yeah. Well, anyway, so there's three things. There's before, mm-hmm. do you promote it before? There's during and then after. So what I've been finding is, especially right now, you can get, it's hard to get people to show up because it's just hard to get people to show up. But right now, because so many people are at home, it's been a lot easier. So what you can do is you can create, and the thing about creating your live, you know, promoting it in advance is you want to be able to have a URL so that people can save it or they have it. I think you have to use a third party tool to use that. And Facebook changes. Sometimes you can create it 7 days in advance. You can start promoting it and ad 7 days in advance. But anyway, so you can promote it ahead of time. I think it's great. Leslie and I have been doing a lot of that for hers. And we've been promoting it ahead of time and then sending out the link with a Facebook bot, as well as I don't know if you send them out in emails. I'm a member of a group where they do a Facebook Live every week and they send out the link in email every week. Then there you do the live. And then what works really, really well is you can create an ad from the live, because it's like I said, an existing post. You create a live from the live, and then you can add a URL to that. So let's say you were talking about your lead magnet, for instance. Then you can add your link to your URL in the ad that becomes part of the post. And we get so much, we get so many views of the live afterwards. So what I tell people, especially in the beginning, is who cares if only one person shows up or nobody shows up, or your mom shows up. Do your best job, because that's a piece of content that then becomes an ad that really can do a lot of work, be a real workhorse for you in terms of attracting people, whether it's to your lead magnet, attracting people just into your fold. You know, video is such a great way to create connection. And, you know, a Facebook Live does all that for you, and you don't need like a videographer and, any of that stuff. So I'd be more focused on what the content is, how you're going to deliver it, doing, you know, the best live that you can, and then putting money in the replays.
Okay. Let's see.
Yeah, I think with Corona, I mean, it doesn't surprise me that people were, you know, you got like a nice bump and then it plateaued because either there's like fatigue. Also, people are starting, like places are starting to open up. You know, I know in Texas, you know, that's where I'm from, like restaurants are starting to open, more people are going out, people are breaking the rules and just going out. So, you know, life is kind of going back to normal, but yeah.
So is there anything she can do, to help?
Yeah. List.
Yeah. Yeah.
More people
maybe run some ads.
You run ads, like I said. I mean, I'm not as concerned, but this is just me. I'm not as concerned if people show up live as much as, like, I just want people to watch it, whether it's live or not. Now, if you're doing an event, like Leslie's doing, like, this launch right now, so obviously we want people live if we can for that. But, if you're just doing, if you're there just trying to, familiarize people, nurture people, get new people in the fold, I would put my investment into the replay and getting more, because once people see you and then they get on your list and then you're promoting your live through your list, they're more likely to show up because they like you, they got a lot of value from you, and then that just keeps mushrooming or keeps growing.
Do you see Lindsay's question?
Yeah. I don't know how many days in advance. A watch party is different. I think a watch party is when you get a bunch of people together and watch a piece of content or watch you. So I don't know how far in advance you can do that. I'm not familiar with that. I've only done lives. Another thing that you can do for lives, I don't know if it's as appropriate for this kind of audience, but you can do some kind of giveaway during the live. You can offer something during the live. I've got jewelry designers, they do trunk shows, you know, as part of the live, and they'll launch new collections. And so that's an incentive to show up. So, but again, unless you've got a reason, like you really want people to live, don't let that discourage you. I feel like that's this red herring and people get upset, like nobody showed up and they suck, I'm not doing them anymore. Like, no way. You use it. It's great. Facebook is trying to crush YouTube. So they give a lot of weight to video. And so, oh, okay. So does it matter if you go live with an event versus just going live on your page? I mean, yeah. You know what, Lindsay, we use events too for lives. I think that's a great option because there's a couple of things. One is that people, if they RSVP for it, they get a notice. You know, Facebook sends them a note, like, you know how you're like, it'll say like, Lindsay Henley is going live, and they'll see that. So I think that's great for events. And then the other thing I've done with events is, especially for my clients that do like a live event, that like they did a workshop event, you can message all those people that have RSVP. So yeah, it is true, Kara. It does create thick skin. But you know what? Just so what? So what if no one's there? Like, somebody will hear it. Somebody will see it.
Keep at it.
Yeah, seriously. I mean, Leslie, look what you're like. You know, you started doing it consistently.
I know.
And it's really
I did. Guys, I didn't start until, what, January? Yeah. I didn't start, and it was really like, oh, I just don't want to commit that time. I had a real hang up about it.
Yeah.
And then I actually worked with a coach. I hired like a whole nother coach who's really pretty well known in the live streaming world. And basically she told me exactly what I already knew. Right? Like, it, but the thing is that I needed someone to kick my butt and to like make sure that, because it is so easy to put off. Oh my gosh, so easy. So I had to commit, like, all right, I'm going to put it in my calendar. It's there every single week. And that's that. And so, yeah, I've been doing it since January. And I really feel, I mean, my audience has grown. I think a lot of really good things are happening as a result. And it does give you thick skin. It's amazing. I think your speaking abilities improve just with that kind of practice. It's crazy.
I'm sure it does. And that's how, you know, just like I said, that pixel gets smarter with use. It's like, you get better. You drive more, you get better driver, right?
Definitely.
You're better cook. But okay, so the Facebook Live, Jennifer, no, it does not come off. It's there as a post. You can delete it if you want, but I don't, I mean, unless it's just so awful, like, but no, it doesn't go away. And then something else you can do, you know, if you're going to start advertising your lives in advance, if you don't have a top, what I recommend doing is if you're going to do them weekly and you don't necessarily have a topic, create like a graphic that can be, that's a, like, let's say you name your live, your show, or, you know, it's like Q&A with Jennifer, then create a graphic for that. So you're not always on the hook to create every week a new graphic. It might, and that may make it a lot easier. And then, yeah. So how do you promote your live? Like, you create an ad. So two things, you can just create an ad that, and then you, and it would be a traffic ad. So, well, okay, I guess there are a couple ways you can promote it. One would just be a traffic ad. Another is, I think it was Lindsay that did an event ad. So there's called event. You create an event in Facebook on your business page. And then Facebook has an ad unit that's called events, get people to the events, and that, and you can do that. Another thing you can do that I've had clients do is you can create like another opt-in page. Like, I'm doing a Facebook Live, opt in here and get the workbook. And then you've got a list of people that you then, you know, do all the email sequences with.
Which is similar to what I'm doing this week with live event. Yeah.
And you send that because you're doing your lives in a private group, in a group.
I created, basically a new group. Yeah.
So one thing about Facebook ads is you cannot, it sounds so, it does not sound like it makes any sense. It's not intuitive, but you, so when you create Facebook ads, you almost always need a URL. But you can't have a URL that's a Facebook destination. So you can't send people to your group as part of an ad. You can't send them to your Facebook page in that like where there's a URL. You can, there are ad units like the event ads that then they use the Facebook asset as a destination, but like we couldn't run ads to the group for you, Leslie.
Say that again?
For instance, let's say I took a list of everybody who had signed up for your, for the series.
Yeah.
What would be great is to show them ads with the destination of the group. You can't run Facebook ads to a Facebook destination.
Okay. So yeah, Chris wanted to know what I've been doing since January is, I started doing every single week a Facebook Live, like a live training. So yeah, it before that it was just kind of hit or miss. It was like, oh, okay, I'll do it. But I think, you know, the magic definitely happens when you show up same time, same place, you know, every single week, your audience comes to expect it. And it's just another way to develop trust, quite frankly.
And then every week we promote the replay. So we actually get captions made for the live, add in the captions, and then run that for the week until the next one. And you get a lot of people watching, like you do like half hour lives, and you get quite a few people watching the whole thing.
Yeah, good.
As a replay and engage.
So then you can run ads to people that have watched the whole thing, right?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, target that group. So, yeah, because those people are really engaged.
Yeah. So those people become another warm audience that we use. So we can use people who watch 25% of videos, 50%, 100%, but yeah. And it's like you really can, I can see it from Leslie's numbers, just how effective that's been.
Awesome. Yeah, so it is really helpful. That's for darn sure. So how many people want to do ads?
You should all want to do them. It's really the best way to grow your list. I mean,
it is.
It also helps you understand your audience. Mm-hmm. And then I'm sure Leslie, as you've been doing these lives and getting questions and interactions, it's helping you understand, you know, just all that engagement helps you.
It is really helpful.
And then the thing is also puts you to, you have a lead mag, you know, you have an opt-in that works, that, you know, people are responding to. And then when you're in a group, you can just drop it subtly. Or if you do go to a networking event, you know, you could put it that URL on a card or whatever you hand out now. I don't even know what people... I haven't been doing so long, but you know, it's there, it's available for you to use organically in addition to sending paid traffic to.
Exactly.
So yeah, it's great. It just forces you, like Leslie said, it also forces you just to really, you start getting data about your clients.
Yeah. Okay. Any more questions, guys? We had some really good ones.
Can you promote these through a sales page? Oh, yeah, you can, is it Vula?
Vula.
Mm-hmm. Vula. So do you mean you have a page of all your lives and then you just send, you know, when your dates are with the links and then you email that to your current list?
I think Leslie does it. She sends these sales page emails and she promotes her events. Is that a way to do it? Is, I guess, my question. I think you've been promoting your trainings through a sales page. I think it's called a sales page, right? Which you've been sending out, Leslie.
Are you talking about my emails where I'm promoting?
Right, but even the training that you're running right now, wasn't that sent through email as well? I'm just a little confused on how is it done in multiple ways or the promotion of it.
Go ahead, Kathy.
Go on.
No, go ahead.
I just said, yeah, you could promote it multiple ways.
Yeah.
Email, for sure. I think, is the first way to start because it's technically free. You know, you pay a monthly service, and those are your warm audience. So I would definitely send out, if you're going to do Facebook Lives, send it out through email. Now you could do it through a sales page, I think is what you're talking about, where in order to get the information, you have to opt in, give your email address and all that.
Right.
But if you're just doing it weekly, I would just send it, you know, it's just a weekly show. It's not, you're not launching anything. I would just send it out with the link. Like, I'm going to be live on Wednesday at noon. Here's the link.
To like your audience, your current audience.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Put on social media. I mean, put it everywhere.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, newsletters all over the place.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, so Christine has to go. All right, good night, Christine. And let's see, let's take one more question. Lindsay, can you see Lindsay's question?
Yeah, so Lindsay, are you using a business manager? So the thing is that, okay, I guess there are two different things. One is are you talking about linking your Facebook page to your Instagram so that the content is duplicated or
cross? Yeah, so I took myself off mute. Yeah, like my Facebook, I have a Facebook business page. Yeah. So if I create an event and I say share direct to Instagram, it'll like instant message people to Instagram, but it won't put it like on the feed and things like that. Is it because it's linked? It may be because it's linked to a personal Instagram. I haven't created a business Instagram account yet.
You know what? I'm not familiar. I mean, I know there's services that you could use that automatically take your Facebook content and put it in your Instagram feed, but okay. I haven't used Facebook to do that. So.
Okay. Yeah. I'm just trying to figure out how to do that. Cause like, as of now, I just direct send it to people on Instagram. A lot of my Instagram followers want to do yoga classes, for example.
Yeah.
But because I'm doing it through Facebook Live, they're they get the direct event name, but they're not like coming over. It's like the people who have Facebook and they're the ones that are actually attending. You know what I mean? And I get little messages like, oh, I'm so interested. Thanks for letting me know. Maybe it's just them. I don't know. And then, you know, there's just they don't get notified when I go live. So there's no reminder and there's like a disconnect or something.
Gotcha. Well, could you do it on Instagram since they're there?
Post it. Just post.
You're wanting to do lives, right?
So I'm doing it on Facebook Live. So I don't know. I guess I would have to maybe figure out that StreamYard or whatever you're talking about, Leslie, to do it live in both places.
You can't. That's the one problem.
Yeah,
you can't do it. You can't stream to Instagram through StreamYard.
Oh, okay.
It's its own little island, right? Unfortunately.
Yeah. So I think that's like the hard thing is, I mean, it's like, I don't have time to do two live classes at once, you know, or in a row.
Oh, right.
The person I know that does it, she just has her camera and her iPad and just like uses two devices.
Oh, and streams.
Especially yoga, because you're not looking, and she tells people right off, okay, I got Facebook here and Instagram here. So if you see my profile, I'm not ignoring you. I'm just talking to the Facebook people and vice versa.
Yeah, that's a really good idea. So maybe I will take two devices. I don't know why I didn't think of that. That's great. And
Chris said her husband does that. So yeah, awesome. Yeah, I think that could be the solution, right?
Yeah.
It might be a little awkward at first. Like, okay, I'm going to push the button simultaneously, right?
Kara has a good idea, which is you could have your tripod or there's like things that can like have them both like kind of in the same place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So. Yeah. Good idea. All right. We're here to solve problems, right? Offer solutions.
Yeah. Instagram Live though, you can't at least right now, you can't use that live as an ad the way you can with Facebook.
Right.
But maybe someday
Yeah. All right, guys.
Well, this is
all right. Great. So, yeah, this was so awesome. Thank you, Kathy. It's always fun to see you.
Yeah, it's always great to see you.
All right. I love Kathy. So, and she's helped me a ton. So, gotta love that too. All right, guys. So, have a wonderful rest of your day.
Yeah.
Wherever you are. Great rest of your week and weekend. And we are going to get together next Wednesday. All right. So we have a six-figure skill building class. I think next week we talk all about websites. So we're going to roll up our sleeves and get into that topic. And so this was awesome. Really, you know, and we're going to put it in the calendar, that deep dive workshop so that, you know, everyone can play around with Facebook ads. So, all right, guys, so have a great rest of your day, great rest of your week. Thanks again, Kathy. Really appreciate your sharing your expertise with everyone, and I will see you next time. Take care, everybody. Bye.